going to change the school system. Now, this is a subject that I am passionate about, so we're going to have some very, very interesting conversations. And then, for those of you that are television fans like Billy the Brain, you'll remember Tic-Tac-Doe. At 10:30, we have a very special guest, Wink Martindale, who was the MC for not only Tic-Tac-Doe, but many other things. He's going to be live with us, and we're going to be talking about his history in the media. So that ought to be very interesting as well. Before we jump into that, before we get to Patty, I want to just throw out a couple of things. First of all, we have giveaways during the show, and we're going to have a giveaway just after our first commercial break for a pizza from the fine folks at Red Brick Pizza over in the plaza that has Barnes & Noble. That's the intersection of East Main Street and Telephone Road. And this is going to be a complimentary family meal, a fire-roasted gourmet pizza, one full fresh chopped salad, large Italian breadsticks with Parmesan cheese, and a large gelato for the second person to call in. And if you want to call in and talk to Patty or to Wink, our telephone number is area code 805-639-0008, 639-0008. Now, before we get to Patty Coquinas, I want to first shout out and give a big shout out to the show ahead of us, Freeman Michael's show. Now, if you have not listened to the Freeman Michael show, you're missing something, because we are very blessed to have Freeman in our lives on KKZZ. He's a phenomenal talent, and he and his co-hostess, Jordan Mercedes, very professional. And I've got to tell you two things. First of all, they make me up my game. They are that good. They are very professional, very good job, and tackling issues that are particularly pertinent to folks here in Ventura County. The other thing, I'm jealous of the guests that they get. They get great guests on their show. So listen in. It's the Freeman Michael Show, 9 to 10 o'clock, immediately before Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. So let's get into it. Today's topic is going to be reforming education. And my special guest is Patty Coquinas. Sorry for mispronouncing your name earlier, Patty. You know, let's face it, Billy the Brain is incensed about the whole education system. America's lagging behind the rest of the industrial world in math and science skills in high school students. SAT scores are on the decline in math and in English. Yet the jobs in the coming decades are going to require advanced knowledge of both math and science, particularly if you consider something like computer science. U.S. technology companies are caught between a rock and a hard place. They'd like to hire U.S. employees, but foreign workers have better skills, and H-1B visas are limited, making skilled workers from outside the United States even more valuable, and that's why they get paid so much. How's the United States going to catch up? I mean, our curriculum that we have today in the schools based on 19th century ways of learning. 19th century. We're in the 21st century. How are we going to catch up to that? Many high school math and science teachers are not trained in the disciplines that they teach. President Obama's $4.35 billion Race to the Top program is long on promises, but short on specifics. So we're going to blow it up. We're going to look at the school systems. Now, I have to warn you, if you're a member of Ventura Unified School District and you're listening to our show right now, just turn off the radio. For the next half hour, you're not going to be interested in anything we have to say, because none of it is going to be good for you. But you join us again at 10:30 when we have Wink Martindale. So before we get into it, my special guest, Patty Coquinas, thank you for being here.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thanks so much, Bill. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah. Now, tell me a little bit about your past, Patty, because you come to this with a bit of knowledge about education.
Yes. I was a teacher for years, a high school English teacher. Then I was an administrator on both sides of the country, as at the high school level, at the K-12 level, as in a district office, and finally came back to Ventura County as an assistant principal, just to get back next to kids and teachers and really do some work that made some difference. So I've written a book called Angel Park, which tells my perspective really about how we need to explode the paradigm really of what we're doing now and make enormous changes, reinvent our system, kind of as you're talking about. And quite frankly, the teachers don't need to turn off the radios, because they're the ones who want to do it the most.
Too late, Patty. They've already turned it off. If they were listening to the sound of my voice, they've turned it off. But we'll talk about Angel Park in just a little bit. I do want to get into your book. But I do also want to set it up for the audience that you bring some credentials to the party here. So you've been on the inside, if you will, at an administrator, at the teacher level. You've seen what goes on there. As a business person, I'm dismayed at the children coming out of high school today. They're not prepared for the modern world. Many of them can't write an English sentence. Most of them are used to texting with improper grammar, improper English. Math
is foreign to them, boy, you'd think it was like a third language. We're trying to teach them Latin, and really all I want them to do is give me the correct change at the end of the day. Where has our current educational system gone wrong?
Well, you know, I think you hit it on the head earlier, which was that we have a system set up to meet the needs of a 19th century society and a 19th century economy. We have, in fact, one of the images from Angel Park is kids get on a conveyor belt in the fifth, when they're 5 years old. They go down the conveyor belt. They are filled up with factoids, little pieces of knowledge that never come together for them in any meaningful way, and then they're pushed out the end whether they've figured out, you know, what's going on in their lives or not. So that whole factory idea is what is holding us up from doing what you're talking about, which is zooming into the 21st century. And also, you know, we're educating everybody, so which we should be. And we have the philosophy that all kids can learn, yet we have not set up our school system so that all kids can, because all kids learn differently. And that's a whole other aspect that teachers know all about but aren't able to do because we have a lot of bureaucratic forces in the way that create a very top-heavy system where they are forced to do things in a certain regimented, linear, isolated way. And that is the whole idea that needs to change. I agree with you about the idea of we're not even close to the 21st century, because the way learning really occurs is that it's kids create a web of knowledge in their minds, just like the internet, actually, where ideas need to link together. They need to be seen collaboratively with each other, and nothing about our system is set up to do that.
Well, that's very true, and I want to come back and talk about the internet and what impact that might have on education. But let's go with that metaphor that you were just talking about, the factory metaphor. Perfect, because in the 19th century, in the early 20th century, we're getting assembly lines. We're mm-hmm. starting to really get into the factory mode at that point. How are we going to break the chain of factory learning at this point?
Well, you know, I think one of the greatest things holding us in place is right now our love affair with standardized testing. First of all, just the word standardized gives you an idea of how factory, how that is really about what a factory does. In other words, we think that all kids need to go along this conveyor belt and be filled up with this knowledge and then be able to fill in everything they know in a little bubble. And that little test, which gives us lots of statistics, is going to somehow guarantee the public that things are working right. Well, it's not. And that testing system is one of the major forces that is sitting on top of the heads of teachers who have lots of creative ideas and are unable to do them, as anybody who goes into a classroom will figure out. If you talk to the teacher, you will find out that they are held in place by this system of testing, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse over the last 20 years.
All right, well, let's talk about the testing, because if it gets measured, it gets done. That's the old theory in business.
Yeah.
How else would you measure success? How else would you measure progress if you didn't have a standardized test?
Well, a standardized test does one type of thinking, which is it's isolated, it is narrow, and it is specific. And that is not even where kids' brains are these days. So when we're looking at falling test scores and kids dropping out of school, it's mostly a rebellion to, you're not teaching me anything. Okay, because that information now is all over the web, and the kids know how to get it. So it isn't a matter of memorizing and regurgitating anymore. That's part of the old passé idea. If colleges tomorrow said, you know what, we're going to no longer give the SAT test, it is passé, we are going to require kids to provide video portfolios of their work and written portfolios of their work and give us a picture of who they are as human beings, the entire K-12 system would change overnight, because it requires a different kind of thinking than what we are now asking kids to do. In other words, a thinking that is derived out of collaborative, cooperative, linked together processes where kids can see a big picture of the knowledge, how the things fit together, and be able to use that knowledge to do something with their brains.
All right. Let's talk about the internet. Let's talk about that exact philosophy that you just referred to when we come back from break, because inherently, I think I see some problems with that. And we'll bring them up, and you've probably answered them, so I want to hear what your answers are. Welcome back, everybody. This is Billy the Brain, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, where I bring you the best guests in America on business, entertainment, sports, and our local community. And with me today is a guest from the local community. It's Patty Kokinas, who is joining us from the, well, she's got a lot of different titles. She's worked as an administrator here in Ventura County in the school system. She has worked as a teacher both here and on the East Coast. And she is the author of a new book, Angel Park, a novel. And in the novel, she talks about reforming the school system. We had a very interesting discussion right before the break where we were talking about how to revamp the education system, talking about the SAT. Before we dive into that with Patty, I want to open up the lines because I have a pizza to give away. This is a pizza from Red Brick Pizza. It's a family pack meal, any fire roasted gourmet pizza, a full fresh chopped salad, Italian breadsticks, and a large gelato for a family of four. And I'll give that away to the second caller at 639-0008, 639-0008. Just call in and you can win yourself a family dinner pack from Red Brick Pizza. All right, Patty, while we're waiting for the callers to call in, before we went to break, we were talking about SATs, and your idea was to get rid of the SATs altogether because you're not a big fan of standardized testing being a throwback to the 19th century education system. So if we got rid of the SAT, how would kids get into college today?
Well, you know, I think a lot of colleges are already doing that. There's a website called FairSight.
FairTest.com.
FairTest.com that is watching all of these trends. And a lot of colleges are saying exactly that. Let's send us your written portfolio of work you have done. Show us what activities you've been in. You know, all the things that you put on the application that show you as a person. And that's what some colleges are really looking for. So the SAT is designed to do what we were thinking was right in the 1950s, which is to sift people according to, the haves versus the have-nots, really, is what we're talking about. And now we are discovering and we know that kids have many more talents than any that our school system is even equipped to deal with.
All right. Well, let's dive into that a little bit deeper, because if you go to that sort of a system, that's inherently biased towards kids who get a better education, that are in private schools, that are in parochial schools, and don't necessarily exhibit it. All right, Patty, sorry for that. We had to take care of the little giveaway. So it's inherently biased towards rich kids.
Well, you know, the whole society is biased towards rich kids and rich people, and that's really part of what changing the schools needs to change about our society. And I think changing the schools can change the world, because what we need to do is be looking at, if we believe that all kids can learn, then all those resources that we are now spending on testing, textbooks, school supplies, all the other things that are a huge industry worth $900 billion a year.
$900 billion
on education that is spent every year. And if we just got rid of that whole testing strand and, convinced Congress, now that they're looking at the No Child Left Behind, that this standardized testing is not giving us what we need and it's holding people down, then we would have all that money from people who are paper pushers. Just think of how many that is in this county alone who do nothing but paperwork. If we put all those highly educated people into contact with kids every day and pushed those resources down and out into schools where teachers and kids and parents can get their hands on them, then there's no problem about where the money is going to come from.
Wow. It always comes down to money, though. $900 billion, that's a staggering amount of money.
Yes.
And I agree with you that there's a lot of overhead. But answer this question for me, because I was reading the statistics in California overall. We spend $5,200-something on every student in the state right now, which is way more money than we spent back in the 1960s per student. You know, we should be getting a better education for the money that we're putting in.
Well, you know what? In back east, they spend $11,000 and $12,000 a kid. And they're getting maybe even worse results than we are. So it isn't really about the money. California is way underfunded, quite frankly. You ask any teacher and, any school administrator, that California is way underfunded because most of that money never gets to the classroom, as you well know. So that whole huge overhead of, the testing, the paperwork, the enormous demands on just keeping that bureaucracy going is what needs to be shrunk. And I have a whole network that I've set up attached to my website. My website is changeoftheschools.com, and I have a network of people that are just beginning to gather, where I've partnered actually with some people from Ventura in this effort to create a different vision of what we want our schools to become. That is, human-friendly schools, not factories, for one thing. Schools that are about creative and critical thinking, not standardized testing, which has nothing to do with creative or critical thinking. And also promoting collaboration and synergy, where teachers and parents can work together to do some creative things for their kids that will get them involved in school, and rather than politics.
Oh.
The political scene is killing us.
So many different ways I want to go with this. There's so many things that you touched on. First of all, let me just make the comment, and you comment on this, that the forces in place right now to keep the bureaucracy are overwhelming. You've got the NEA, which is the National Education Association Teachers. Basically, it's the teachers' union, the administrators' union, that want to keep the status quo. How do you break that?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that they want to keep the status quo as much as they want to protect the teachers. I mean, I was a union organizer when I was a teacher. So, you know, if it weren't for unions, teachers would still be getting no money. Okay, so I don't necessarily disagree with that. But it is huge bureaucracies on both sides, the school districts versus the unions, and they are both like Godzilla and Mothra now, fighting over things that don't need to be fought over, because we need to be coming up with a new vision. And that's what I'm working on. So if people would go to changetheschoolsning.com, N-I-N-G, changetheschoolsning.com, they can jump on with us, because we're going to create a movement. So it's starting right here in Ventura. Hang on.
I love it. I love the local aspect of it. So many, many other questions, but I want to get to your book. You've written a book called Angel Park, a novel. And the author, we're talking to Patty Kokinas on the air right now. Tell me about the book. Why did you write the book, and what do you hope to accomplish with it?
You know, the book is a story of the a mystery about the death of a school administrator. And the basic question is, when does school become a matter of life and death? And my heroine, whose name is Connie, has to look into what are the forces that caused this woman to create, commit suicide. Bureaucracy, corruption, self-serving agendas, all of the things that happen in large bureaucratic systems, like schools, like school districts, like huge ones. Look at LA Unified, for example. So this takes Connie through all of those forces and helps her see how deep we're going to have to reach down into our philosophical roots, really, to grab on to a new vision of what we want our future to become, and how we're going to, wake up in time to save the future. And the book's available right here in town exclusively at Bank of Books, where Clary Redd, the owner, is one of my biggest supporters, and I love him for it. And also, you know, if people want to buy it on Amazon, and let's have some great sellers out there that are something besides vampires, serial killers, and detectives. You know, let's get educators into that mix.
I like it. Now, did you put forth your changes for the educational system in the book Angel Park?
No, I have a companion website, really. Actually, there's an interview with the author, that would be me, in the book at the end, and also questions for reading groups that lead them toward some of these ideas. There are lots of, ideas in a fictional way brought forth, but the real hard ideas about what the changes need to be are on my companion website, which is changetheschools.com. And I do speaking to groups and that sort of thing, so if anybody's interested, they can just contact me through my website.
Oh, that's great. We're talking to Patty Kokinas, everybody. We only have a couple of seconds left, Patty. So in that time, let's talk about critical thinking, because you mentioned it, you brought it up. With the internet, there's so much on the internet, both good and bad.
Oh, absolutely.
So much of it is disguised in fact, and when it's truly fiction. And the reality is, you need very critical thinking to separate the wheat from the chaff there. And are we training that in school? And if not, where will children learn to really understand what they're reading on the internet?
Well, you know, it really has to be done in school, and we're doing some of that. But again, you know, it's not being tested. Therefore, it's not something that's going to be happening. I mean, that's just how the system works. The testing drives the instruction, and any teacher will tell you that. And it pains me to think of how many creative teachers doing creative things are out there closing their doors every day so nobody will see them. You know, our little rebel teachers out there doing things that are good for kids. And we shouldn't all have to fight the system every day. And yes, absolutely, all of that critical thinking that needs to be taught in school so kids can go to the internet, pull off what they not want, be able to judge it immediately, and use it for whatever purpose it may or may not have been intended.
And what role do the parents have in training the children on the internet?
Well, the parents, of course, should be controlling the internet about what access their kids have. But also, you know, the whole idea of collaborating, the school and the and the parents collaborating to look at, you know, projects that kids can get involved in that might be real-time, things where they can help their communities, things where they can use their brains and their curiosity and their natural learning. I mean, kids are natural learning systems, and we need to change the schools into a natural learning system for them and a natural learning environment. So come to changetheschools.com and find out how.
All right. We're talking to Patty Kokinas, everybody, and she is a local Venturan. She's written a book, Angel Park, a novel, where she talks about the education system in a fictionalized way. But if you want more factual nonfiction information, go to changetheschools.com, her website, and you can find the information there. Patty, thank you very much for being our guest. And you can stay for the next minute. We do something we call Celebrating America at the bottom of the hour. And in Celebrating America, we find a famous quote from an American. I read it on the air, and everybody gets to guess who said it.
Oh, cool.
All right, so here is today's quote. Today's quote is from a famous American who said, "There's nothing wrong with America that can't be fixed by what's right with America."
I think I heard this one before.
You have.
Can I still guess?
You can guess, Tom. Go ahead.
I'm going to say Bill Clinton.
William Jefferson Clinton is correct. That's
really?
Right. One of the more memorable takes that he did was, "There's nothing wrong with America that can't be fixed by what's right with America." William Jefferson Clinton. And that's today's Celebrating America moment. Patty, thank you for being here. Again, your website is changetheschools.com. And if anybody is interested, you can go there, learn some information. One final question before we let you go,
sure.
And that has to do with an event that you just hosted 2 or 3 Sundays ago. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. We gathered at Bank of Books to have a little launch party for our Change the Schools Network, which is a Ning network, N-I-N-G, and you can find it through changetheschools.ning.com, where a couple of local residents and I got together with a man who's a school activist in Atlanta, Georgia, actually.
Atlanta.
Uh-huh. Mm. And he did a similar event there on the same day. And we also have a producer and a writer from KNX Radio in L.A.
And who is that? Is that Bob Brill?
Jerry Edling.
Jerry
is his
Edling.
Name.
Okay, great.
Jerry. And the five of us are kind of the founding members of this network. We've already got college professors, people from, all over the country as far as teachers, parents, homeschooling parents who have pulled their kids out and have which I have to congratulate them for coming back and saying, we want to make the schools better for all the kids. So that's really public spirited, I think.
I love it. I do too, Patty. Great stuff. We're talking to Patty Kokinas, everybody. And you're welcome to stay. We've got a very famous guest coming on here and just next. And all you need to do is put on your headset. You'll be able to hear him.